This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, your pop culture home.
Yeah, Frank here has got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's what do you call it, Kramer?
Billiard room.
No, not billiard, not the billiards. It was
billiards room.
Come on already. Come on, we call it the...
The Place to Be.
The Place to Be, yes, the Place to Be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
But that's what she said!
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to Be Nations, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be Podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Isn't that what I just said? What is wrong with you?
Is it the Pelicans? I didn't know it was the Pelicans.
Oh,
I
know
nothing
you're like,
about the word Pelicans.
Yes.
I worked during the fucking day, okay?
And so then I'm doing this, and then he touches me, and I swear to God, this is going to sound, this is probably one of those you want to pull off the audio for your promo. He touches me with his voodoo stick.
Until you fancy to make a decision, Scott's stuck twisting in the wind, a pawn in your sick, cruel game of vacation domination. I don't know what the fuck the Department of Health is. I think this whole thing's a load of horseshit, Matt.
To do worse than Josh Richard.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be podcast. I am your co-host, Justin Rosero, coming at you live from the PTB Man Cave. And with me, as always, my PIC. He's got a new title in his life here now, known as Deputy Grand Knight, Scott Criscola. Welcome aboard.
Thank you, JR. Thank you, PTB Nation. Welcome to episode 228 of the Place to Be podcast. And JR was hoping for a little Donnybrook, a little...
I know, I wanted some anger, you know. I wanted you guys to win, but I was hoping for some
drama.
Fired up.
Nah, it didn't happen. It was actually, from what I've been hearing from other guys in the council, it was pretty much a landslide. So, yes, Dr. G is now the new Grand Knight elect, and I am the Deputy Grand Knight.
I feel like we should have had some theme music ready.
Yes. Lovely of all songs.
Oh, our very own King Mabel and Sir Mo here on the Place to Be podcast.
Oh, we certainly, God, trust me, we could both speak in public much better than either of them can.
So. Yeah, you both wear purple baggy pants, though. So.
That is true. All right, welcome to episode 228 of the Place to Be podcast. We are here, and because we are, 4 days away from our next pay-per-view extravaganza, that being Payback in Chi-Town. Of course, it is our now monthly cornucopia of fun and games. Give us the docket, JR. What will we be doing this evening?
Well, speaking of Chi-Town, first, Scott, we must clarify that, of course,
yes,
tonight is game one.
Mm-hmm.
Stanley Cup Finals right now with 8 minutes left in the second period. Your Boston Bruins lead the Chicago Blackhawks 2-1.
Okay.
Milan Lucic has 2 goals.
Does he?
Lucic.
He does. So we'll keep you posted. As you know, whenever big sporting events are happening, nights we record, something crazy is going to happen. The Red Sox collapse. We may see Gronk go deep, tie the game in the ninth. May see the Patriots lose the AFC Championship. You never know.
Never know.
Dallas winning the NBA title. Shit always happens
That's
while
right.
on there.
Now, let's see. The Yanks don't start for what? Another 25 minutes or so, right?
I know.
Ugh, you must hate these West Coast trips.
Yes and no. I don't mind them sometimes, but like last night I was exhausted. Once I went down 5-0, I went to bed. Tonight, I'm working from home tomorrow, so I'll probably push it a little bit and stay up a little bit later. Tomorrow they're playing at 3:30, so not as bad.
Ah, day game, yes. And then to Anaheim this weekend, right?
Yes. So I think Friday night's the only night game. I think they're on
How
Fox.
Lame is that, though? They play the Angels, and then you fly 3,000 miles to play the Dodgers.
I'm all right with it.
I'll take the Dodger games at home, but it'll be nice to see Donnie back in the house, though.
If he makes it there.
Well.
They have an off day tomorrow.
I got that Puig kid, or Puig, whatever his name is. He's hitting the crap out of the ball.
Yeah, they're still not winning.
Their bullpen still sucks, though.
Well, they have an off day tomorrow, then they're going to be traveling cross-country. That's usually, if there's a time you're going to fire someone, it's usually that that off day before an East Coast trip, you know, for a West Coast team. So
that's what happened to Willie Randolph. He went 3,000 miles, beat the Angels, and then got fired.
Well, because the Mets are assholes. You know, I'm saying most teams do it before the guy leaves.
Yeah. No, I know.
The cross-country play.
That was my point. Yeah. I know that.
So hopefully, right. If they're going to do it, they'll do it civilly tomorrow. Yeah. But all right, we're going to run through the shows like we usually do. Raw, SmackDown, Impact, Ring of Honor. We're going to preview Payback, give our predictions. We'll hit up a couple news bits. Maybe we'll quickly talk NBA and NHL. And then we have Jordan Duncan on for the Half-Baked Ideas. We have Brad Woodling to give you an update on the PTB Nation website, which is hot and heavy right now, running big time for us. A lot of cool new pieces and articles up we'll get to later. Yes. And we have two more trivia matchups, and we'll reveal those contestants as we move along. So, why don't you kick us off, Scott? Let's get to Raw.
Okay.
And just to preface, you can find each and every one of these reviews, Raw, SmackDown, and Impact, and Main Event from Scott, Ring of Honor from myself, over at placetobenation.com, the exclusive home of Scott and Justin's wrestling recaps, plus much more.
Yes. It's a double-edged sword right now on Raw. Match quality-wise, for the most part, the matches have been pretty good. I think the main events have been very good. Mid-card has been pretty solid. A lot of people are a little upset about the repetition. I am as well, but I'm not as upset about it on Raw as I am on other shows. The repetition's been a little annoying. But I will say this, and I wrote this in this past Monday night's Raw recap. At least I honestly think I see the matches changing, though. I've watched enough matches now over the last 6 months since I started writing in January that I think I know when they're repeating.
I mean, I can't believe – kudos to you. We sat here in January, and I threw the Punk card down, and I believe you've only missed 1 week, and that was because you were on vacation.
Right.
And
I missed one SmackDown, but that was –
So you didn't even miss Raw, right, that week?
I've never missed a Raw.
Okay.
Yes, I missed Raw. The week I was in Pennsylvania, I missed all four of them. The only other one I've missed was the SmackDown before WrestleMania. Which I obviously couldn't do because we were in Hammerstein. So, and it was all access crap anyway. It was nothing worth writing. So,
yeah, it's been an impressive run. So I feel for once on the show you're actually qualified to speak on something. So.
Thank you, hack. with your Montero jersey all folded up nicely in your trunk. But the matches, in all seriousness, yes, the matchups themselves have been repeating. I mean, how many straight weeks did we see Del Rio and Biggie Langston? I think there were five matches in a week and a half.
It had to be, yeah. It was like Raw main event, SmackDown Raw main event.
It was. And
seen like that.
Those were a little shaky in the repetition department. They weren't great. But he is one guy that is on my list that has been very impressive, and that is Biggie Langston. I think he's been great. I don't think he should be broken up yet. Keep him with Dolph and AJ. But the mid-card guys...
Where do you think he's improved the most or in general? In the ring, his promo, his psychology? What do you think's been...
He doesn't talk a lot, which is good, because that's another guy's problem right now, another big guy's problem. He does something that reminds me of a guy before he bailed on the company. Big E reminds me a lot of Lashley in the sense that he puts over his power moves. I mean, he really levels guys with a lot of force and... You know, he really puts over his size, and and I love his finisher. His promos have been okay, but he hasn't spoken much. I mean, the promo Monday night when he was duping Caitlyn was not bad. But he's muscle. He doesn't need to talk. It's not his job. So promos we'll deal with down the line when he has to. But right now he doesn't have to. He's muscle for Dolph. So he doesn't have to talk. The guy that I think's taken a big step down is Ryback. They threw him in this feud with Cena. His promos, and I love you, Jay, but other than Jay Hinchy, everybody's told me that his promos have been abysmal.
No, they're not bad.
He's talking too much.
They're not bad.
He's talking too much.
No, he is. I agree with
you. He's getting too analytical. You're a meathead. You're a monster.
If they were going to turn him heel, they really should have just bit the bullet and put him with Heyman. I don't see why they didn't. You know, his only real beef before is with the Shield. He didn't have much of a beef with Heyman, so I would have put him there. And... should we get to the... We'll save it for Payback, because I have a kind of idea of what to do with Ryback, so we'll get there. But I think I agree with you. I think it's been a little bit too much talking. I didn't mind that first promo where he took us through the history with him and Cena and why he did what he did. But since then, yes, he's definitely spoken too many times.
Yeah. But clearly the guy that has stepped up in a big way, I don't think there's any doubt about that, is Daniel Bryan. He's a beast now. The weak leak thing I thought was kind of annoying, but if anything, it has woken up his work rate and has woken up his energy level.
When's the last time?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, when's the last time you've seen someone go on a stretch like this?
This isn't even like Punk. Punk's rise was different.
Yeah, this is completely different. I mean, I feel like Shawn, like fucking what? Shawn 96.
Yeah.
Or Austin 01.
Yeah.
That stretch where he was fighting Benoit and Jericho and all that stuff.
He was a monster. He was just a machine. Yeah,
Angle,
I agree.
Angle 01, maybe.
Yep.
It's been a while since we've seen a guy just dominate on TV.
Yep.
With great match after great match after great match and just be super over. I mean, he's so over right now.
Yeah, he is. Everyone has fears about Sunday. We'll get to that in a minute. But honestly, even if he stays face and feuds with Dolph, I'm fine with it. Everybody thinks, oh, he needs to beat Cena. No, he doesn't need to beat Cena. It'd be nice, but let's not throw, because all you're going to do is get disappointed.
Right.
So don't bother.
Now, do you want to discuss, well, I guess we'll get to SmackDown, but I don't know if you want to talk about the spoilers because something big happens with him. Or do you want to stay spoiler free?
I want to stay spoiler free. I don't like being surprised. I like being surprised when I actually watch a show. That's the one old school thing in me. I like being surprised on SmackDown.
Okay.
But he's been awesome, and he'll get his. It might be the summer of Goatface. I mean, who knows? But he's been fantastic. The Shield speaks for themselves. Can't say anything bad about them. Let me ask him. Do you think though that having belts is kind of, I don't want to say neutered them, but have kind of like dulled their edge a bit?
No.
No? Okay.
Nope.
Just curious.
I think they had to do it. I mean, how many non-title six-man wins can you get? Like, I think they needed to give them more of a hook.
Okay.
I think Ambrose stands out a little bit more having the solo belt, and I like the other two as tag champs. So, no, I think it's fine. I mean, the belts weren't doing anything anyway, so you might as well put them there and camp them out with the Shield and make them seem a little bit more important. So I'm cool with that.
Okay. Anything else on Raw? The Formatics has been fucking brutal. I mean, matches are being smushed together, and commercial breaks are at weird times, and the last 2 weeks have been unwatchable. I'm sorry. This is not 1999, 2000, 2001. Putting Vince on TV solves nothing.
With his Fred Willard haircut.
What the fuck is that? It looks like a dead raccoon. It's got the fluff back. He's got way too much dye. Jesus. He does. He looks like, what is it, Fernwood, whatever, that stupid show that him and the other guy. I don't know. What the hell? What are you doing, Vince?
I'm already with Vince being on and off, the whole Stephanie thing, and I just don't think we need this much drama around Triple H. Unless something's cooking where Triple H is going to go heel, I don't know what they got planned, but
I think they're trying to do something that he doesn't have. And you and I've talked about this, and I've admitted it.
Hmm.
He doesn't have that built-in Shawn sympathy.
Yeah.
So they're trying to make some. That's what they're doing.
No,
I
think
bad for Hunter right now.
Yeah, I agree. It's just an awkward role for him, and it's an awkward to have the McMahons on. And
that whole thing at the end, I wanted Triple H to beat the crap out of him.
Yeah.
Instead, they're doing faux hugs, and they're all giggling, and
that backstage thing just went on and on.
Awful.
On and on and on.
Yeah, terrible. So, pros of Raw, matches have been very good. Cannot complain about the work rate in the ring. It's not, we haven't had too many.
Okay, filth ball.
Yeah. In the wing. We haven't had too many stinkers. You have to admit that.
No.
In terms of TV. Nope. We haven't had too many stinkers. The bad thing is.
And the even the match, of course, Monday night, Daniel Bryan and Seth Rollins was fantastic.
Was awesome.
And
I lost a little bit of that match because of the fucking rain, and it botched my DirecTV, so I missed a little bit of the match. But from what I did watch, it was very good.
And shrewd move by Ring of Honor. Like, basically within, like, an hour of that match airing on their website, they had a match from, like, 5 years ago between the two of them, Tyler Black and Bryan Danielson, that happened in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, so they've got built-in chemistry, so. Yeah.
But it was just cool that Ring of Honor posted that on their website.
Yeah,
full.
No, that is awesome.
It was smart of them.
That's the problem. The formatics of the show fucking suck. It's very Nitro-ish, where they're rushing, and they don't know what they're doing. They're taking weird commercial breaks, but the matches themselves are fine. So that's my raw take. Matches are good. The formatics are horrendous.
Okay, let's do SmackDown.
Okay. Same thing, but formatic's not as big a problem because it's...
I meant to ask you, what are the commentary on Raw?
I love JBL. He's funny. They're funny. They're actually, there's times that they've actually been funny. You know, when like they crack up over an inside joke or they say something dumb. It's been good in that aspect. I'm still not a big fan of Jerry. Jerry's been very milked. And yeah, somebody posted on Facebook. It's actually pretty funny. Why would you give Jerry, of all people at the table, a fucking cheeseburger with 9 slices of bacon?
Make him stare at it. He's going to have a heart attack just staring at that fucking
Jesus
thing.
Jesus Christ. Hey, look, nobody loves bacon more than Place to Be, but...
Hey,
Christ.
Can you take this container of salt and eat it, Jerry Lawler, while on air, please?
Yes, Jesus.
We have an agreement with Big Salt. We need you to eat the salt.
Yeah. How about some shortening? It's like, oh, fuck. But there's some moments where they've been good. I like Cole in the play-by-play role. He's been fine. JBL's JBL. He's losing his edge a skosh, but not too bad. Not too bad. SmackDown, which is the same thing except no Lawler, right? It's just Cole and JBL. Has been good. I liked it. Formatics has not been SmackDown's problem because they're canned, so there's no dead spots. They do more on SmackDown than they do on Raw is pimping that fucking app. Enough now. I understand you want to watch the match at commercial. I get that. But stop with the, oh, look who's watching it while, or check out this interview. I'm trying to watch the match. what do you want? The app's there. It's not going anywhere. Put some matches on it or something, and we'll have something to watch when we're not watching the show. So that annoys me on SmackDown. But again, match-wise, the match has been fine. I don't know where Booker is, but there was a stretch on SmackDown where the formatics were very cookie-cutter. All right, babyface in the ring.
He had Booker had surgery. He had a torn bicep or something.
Was that his? I knew it was some upper body thing. Heel comes in the ring, bitches and moans. Face comes in, bitches back. Heel, face, heel, face. Booker's music comes out. We got a 6-man tag, sucker! Every week for 2 months. The same thing. So cookie cutter. Formatics are a real problem right now. It's not the matches. Everything just seems so scripted and so cookie cutter. I hate to keep using that word, but it's the truth. Yeah. But the matches at least have been good.
Well, we talked about that for years now. I mean, again, why we can't take it seriously when someone says this is worse than 95 or 03. Well, 03, decent wrestling too. But, we have better wrestling than we had in years past when the rest of the show was weak. I mean, you do. You're guaranteed, 1 to 2 very good matches a week just based on the talent. Now, they may be stale matches. Maybe we've seen them 100 times, but they're all very technically sound. And a lot of the guys they have are well used. And you have to give Hunter and crew this. They said they were going to focus on youth and bring guys up and use them. And they have. Some guys aren't being as used as well as others. But it is a very young roster right now. A lot of youth infused in all of it. A lot of fresh faces. I mean, really, outside of Cena and Orton and Triple H, I mean, a lot of guys are fairly new. So I'll give them their credit there, especially now. You look at the Wyatt family coming up. Are you excited about that?
Oh, my God. I am so stoked for that. Come on. You're salivating. Oh, yeah. You wish that Uncle Waylon will be coming in any minute now.
Yeah, maybe he will. No, it's very, very well done. I like all the stuff with the masks and the sheep and everything else. And
what I like about it is... And you and I have talked about this with storylines and characters. It's complex.
Yeah.
I won't say complicated. It's complex. It's very cerebral, no pun intended. It makes you think. I love those kind of characters.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you think.
It'll be curious how they present the gimmick and if it's put in a position to be taken seriously or if it's going to be, I don't want to say goofy, but if it's going to be a hindering gimmick. We talked about how Fandango... Johnny Curtis is a solid wrestler. He takes to the role really well, but you're never going to see world champion Fandango. So I'm curious to see how Bray Wyatt's presented.
Well, the other thing is, again, JR, a lot of people just have to get over it. Some people are meant for some things. Some people aren't meant for others.
Yeah, I think a guy like Bray Wyatt has the talent.
Right. He could be an IC champ.
No, I think he has the talent to be a world champion. Yeah.
Hey.
I'm just curious if the gimmick is going to be presented as a hindrance or as a positive for him. That's positive. All.
Right. I agree. Well, we'll see. I don't know when they're supposed to start, so.
I'm guessing, I wouldn't be surprised if they show up next week after the pay-per-view.
Yeah. We got what? We got a while till.
Well, Money in the Bank is.
5 weeks till Money in the Bank?
The Money in the Bank is the week before St. Mary's, so the 14th.
That's the 14th, so no, it's a normal 4 weeks. Okay. That's my take on SmackDown. Again, same thing as Raw, except the formatics aren't as bad, but it is getting very cookie cutter with the promos and skits. The filler stuff is crap. But the matches, which is usual for SmackDown, and I am so, you know what? I could deal with Cena because at least he's the champ. He's in the middle. I am so Sheamus out.
Yeah.
I cannot take him anymore.
Sheamus needs, you know what would be awesome? If Monday, say Sheamus wins on the pre-show, mm-hmm. Monday night, fucking Sandow and Cody come out and just beat the piss out of him and like mm-hmm. bust his leg or something and knock him out until like SummerSlam. I think a good 2 to 3 months off for that guy would do the world.
Yeah. I mean, for him. Enough's enough now. I got people thinking, why are you picking on, he's supposed to beat up the Sandows and, oh God, give me a break. Every week. I don't think he's lost a match since a show beat him for the title at fucking Hell in a Cell. Mania. But yeah. I mean, the six-man. But, I mean, I don't think he's lost a singles match in, like, 6 months.
No, it doesn't seem like it anyway.
Christ sakes. How many heels are left to bury?
But you know what makes it work? Like, at this point, they should just pull the old-school thing and throw him a bone and have him fight Cena for the world title on a pay-per-view. Why not? Say, you know what? Just have Sheamus come out and say, hey, fella, I've won, you know, 8,000 matches in a row now. It's, you know, I'm challenging you for the title. I should be number one contender. And maybe you feel, or make it like a big Raw match or something.
What about the other guy? I'm not as annoyed with him as I am with Sheamus, but what are we doing with Randy Orton? What are we doing? Is he just there? Like, I'm confused. I'm surprised he hasn't quit, to be honest with you. I mean,
interesting take. I saw someone ask Scott Keith about this, and he had a, you know, interesting take on it, saying that the problem with Orton is he's one strike away from getting shit canned. So how much faith can they really have, and what can they give this guy? Can you give him a world title, and then he gets popped for a fucking drug test, and you got to fire him?
Right. Yeah.
And so what do? You just let him float around and put guys over and do his thing. I mean, it looks like he's going heel, but what else? I don't know what else you do with him. I mean, you can't trust him with the belt. You're not going to just cut him because you don't want him to go. You know, you don't want him to go off to TNA or whatever. Not that I think he'll make a huge difference, but still, it's a name.
It's a name. They could use him. Well, so, I don't know. We'll get to Impact in a second. I don't know if they could use him.
Well, I would think they would take him.
Yeah, I mean, the roster's
a big
jack.
Enough name.
That's true, too.
To give a quick update, we're at the end of 2-1 Bruins still.
Okay. I'd like to steal this first one. I would. I don't know. Dr. G thinks the Bruins are going to sweep him. I said, let's chill out here.
I'm going to say a sweep would not surprise me. I think 5. Scott, I don't think they've played this well. I don't think I've ever seen them play this well. They're playing better than they did at the Stanley Cup here.
They're better than the Stanley Cup here. I agree.
That was Thomas. That was Thomas on his head. That was not.
I haven't seen them this dominant since '93 when they finished with when they won the President's Trophy, and then they got fucking dorked in the playoffs by Buffalo.
I agree with some of the talking heads around here that said that this sweep of Pittsburgh was more impressive than when they beat Vancouver for the Cup. That this team is better than that Canucks team.
Mm. I mean, they held one of the greatest scoring machines in the last 10 years to 2 goals, and their scoring champion looked like a bobblehead.
No,
I don't know if Crosby will ever recover from that series. He's a mess now.
And the key they were talking about on the radio today too is Joel Quenneville was already making adjustments to their lines, and you know, kind of like, well, why are you acting ahead before? You're almost like admitting that you need to make changes. Why not just play your game? And that's the one thing the Bruins have done. You know, Pittsburgh got in their own heads.
Yep.
And they tried to play the Bruins game. They tried to mix their lines up and do different things. And the Bruins said, nope, we're just going to play our game, come out there and do our thing. And that's what they've been doing. It's amazing to think where they're down 4-1 with like 3 minutes left in game 7 against the Leafs.
Yeah.
And now they look like the fucking
greatest
team of all
time. I think we were on the air for that too.
We were on the air for that too. Yeah, we were. Yep.
Oh, my God. But all right, so 2-1 after 2.
All right, back to let's do Impact now.
Okay, good matches are great. I got to be honest with you, JR. I don't think I've seen 2 stinkers in one show yet. I love the X Division. I love the influx bringing back Sabin, Petey Williams, Suicide. I love the X Division. I love Kenny King. He's a good talker. The X Division's in good shape. Tag Division's in good shape because it looks like finally Chavo and Hernandez are breaking up. I'm so done with Chavo. Retire. You're not Eddie. Move on. Hernandez is a stud. He needs to be a main event guy. Time to break Aries and Rude. They're main event guys. They're singles guys. My boy is tag team champion again for the 12th time in his career, and that is the Cowboy, James Storm. Him and Gunner are the tag champs. They won him at Slammiversary.
So what do you think they're going with the Sting now that he lost and he doesn't get any more title shots?
I think he's just going to kind of coast and put guys over. Yeah.
You think he retires a Bound for Glory going in the Hall? Well, no, he's already in the Hall of Fame.
He's already in the Kurt's Hall. No, your boy's in the Hall this year.
Did you like that choice?
Oh, Kurt? Absolutely.
Right, he's a good choice.
He picked that company up out of the toilet when he came
in. I mean, we're almost to the point, you know, like Hogan in 2000-ish, when you looked at him almost as more of a WCW guy than a WWF guy, that seemed impossible.
Yeah.
But it kind of became that way, and you're almost looking at that with Kurt. I mean, he was in the WWF for, 7 years? And he's been in TNA for seven years.
Yeah.
So he's probably going to be there a little bit longer. So his resume is a little bit better,
I think. Well, nah, it's about equal, I guess.
Yeah, he had a great run in both. But it'll be interesting to see how his legacy goes and how long, if he ever does come back. But thoughts on Rampage?
I mean, it's a nice signing. I think they did it more for Bellator because Bellator is second fiddle to UFC. So I think it was more for Bellator than for TNA because I don't know how this guy is. Kurt got in his face last week, which was good.
At the end of the day, it's a big name. I mean,
it is a big name.
For once, I thought their payoff paid off.
Yeah,
like all that hype about a big major free agent, I thought it actually was a big name. We'll see how he does, but I think it was a positive for them. I think even if he pops one big buy rate for them, it's worth it.
Right.
If they built to him and Kurt for Bound for Glory or whatever they're going to do.
Yeah. I love that concept. You know, you and I are big marks for tournaments and standings and stats. I love the Bound for Glory series. I really do. I love it. WWE's got to think outside the box. Not every fucking storyline's got to be complicated and with, you know, do something simple, you know. This is how we're going to do number one contender. We're going to do you know, standings and things. You know, fans will deal with that. As long as the matches are good, who cares? I love the Bound for Glory concept. I really do. The only problem with it is I say that and I'm thinking to myself, WWE couldn't do that twice in a year, and they wouldn't do a point system leading to WrestleMania. That's stupid. And there's really nowhere else to stick it in the calendar year. So it probably wouldn't fit for them, but I love it for TNA. I think it's awesome. I also feel that I've gotten lucky that when I started watching in January, everybody hated Aces and Eights, but they've been pretty good. They were pretty good. I can't lie. I mean, they've grown and grown, and of course now Bully Ray is head and D'Lo's gone, and I actually said to D'Lo at the convention Saturday, I said, you'll always be the VP, boss. He laughed at that. But I think the only problem with Aces and Eights is they're all over the place. They're in every storyline. Like, there's one big storyline, and then everybody else just kind of floats. TNA's got to do a little bit better job of trying to thin that out a little bit. I like the Joseph Park Abyss thing. I think that's pretty good.
Now you've come around on that. I thought you didn't like Joseph Park last time.
Didn't like him until I realized that I didn't like him until the whole Abyss thing came, and now he sees blood and he snaps. And I thought he was just going to be a boring, you know, fat hump, but he's not. They've kind of morphed the character a little bit and have made it a little deeper. And you know, every time he sees blood, now he snaps and starts doing the Abyss cross and everything. And okay. At the time, I hated it because it was just so bland, but they seem to have opened up to it now.
All right, you think Bubba Hogan's where we're going?
Oh, God, I hope not.
Looks like it.
Not. Terrible.
Hogan's been training.
Terrible, terrible, terrible idea. You've got all these guys, Rude and Aries and Joe and Kurt and all these guys, all these main event guys. Even the guys like Magnus. Why, for the love of God, does anybody want to see that? You know what? If you want to do it, take the belt off him. If you want to have a match between Bubba Ray and Hogan where if Hogan wins, Aces and Eights must disband. That's fine. Hogan can't win, right?
No, huh? I don't think he's going to win.
I don't know if you're going to have a... Well...
I think they're going to have the match, but I think Bubba wins.
You can't have Hogan above Bound for Glory because Bubba's got to face the Bound for Glory point champion. So they're not going to face each other at... Maybe they'll face each other at Genesis.
They've been making it seem... Everything I've read, I thought they were going to have it at Bound for Glory.
Well, then maybe
Bubba's going to lose the belt.
It's the belt before that.
Yeah.
Because that's the title match at Bound for Glory. It's the champion against the winner of the series. So if that's the case, then maybe Bubba drops the strap before then. I mean, we got a long way to go between now and October 20th. So what do you think of that? Well, I mean, I think the gap is huge. I think it's good for them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we talked about this before. I think it's fine. They'll do their little super shows on TV and do their other Friday night shows and everything else. So
the live shows have been great. They really have. Crowds have been hot.
They're not going to be purely live anymore, right? Because now they moved to 9.
Now it's 9 to 11, which I'm not a big fan of. I think they should have stuck with 8 to 10.
Ratings reasons, but...
Yeah, that's true. Can't argue with that. But now, you know... So does Bellator leave... I don't write Impact live anyway. I usually write it the next night anyway, so it's not...
Will Bellator be live? Or
Bellator will be on at 8 o'clock.
So it's going to lead into them.
Yep. Instead of the other way.
I think that's better for them. I think they have a better chance to pick up some viewers.
Yeah.
Especially if they do something with... I mean, I think it's shrewd. I think it's shrewd for Spike to get Rampage on board and then work them into both shows. I think that was a good idea. All right, let's quickly talk Ring of Honor.
Okay.
I'll be honest, Scott. For the first time since I started doing this in January, I'm finding myself waning a little bit. I feel like they've hit a bit of a rut. But it's like WWE, only kind of juiced up as far as you always get good matches.
Mm-hmm.
You're always going to get good matches.
Yep.
I feel like they need some new talent. I feel like a lot of the guys that they have are just played out a little bit. Like, I find myself getting bored of some of the guys. I like a lot of the talent they have, and I think the Scum thing is still going strong. I think Scum needs a bigger name mixed in. Matt Hardy being the main guy is fine, but after losing Steen, they don't really have another top guy. It's Hardy, and then it's, you know, Jimmy Jacobs, Compton, Rhett Titus. You know, it's nobody that captures your imagination. Now, they may be setting up for a turn. Maybe Jay Lethal, maybe Michael Elgin, who knows. But for now, it's Carino doing the heavy lifting. And he's been great. Him and Kevin have been phenomenal on commentary. I really enjoyed them. Carino has just been, to me, as much as I love JBL, I think Carino's the best broadcaster in the business right now. He's that good. Like, I think it'd be, I don't know how he'd do in WWE because he's someone that really works in this setting where he can kind of be a little bit edgier.
Mm.
How
is Elgin right now? Is he still one of your hot guys?
I still like him a lot. He hasn't really done much. He's kind of been...
He had the number one contender. Has he used it yet?
He has not had a title match yet.
Okay. No. So he still has the number one contender.
Yeah, they're setting up a match with him and Tommaso Ciampa made his return after a year out. So they set that up for the next pay-per-view. But other than that, there was a good match last week, American Wolves and Briscoe Brothers. Just setting up. I think part of it is the Briscoe match, Jay versus Mark at Best in the World next weekend, is not really lighting the world on fire. It's like, I get why they're doing it, but it's not really a hot feud. There's not a lot of heat behind it. It's like you have this whole Scum thing going on, and they're building up that Hardy's going to get the world title match because he's the hand-picked guy from Scum, but we're not really, you know, we're not going towards that.
Right.
It's just kind of weird.
Mm. How about the tag situation? Well, how about Jay as champion?
I mean, yeah, it's been okay. It's been fine. But again, he's been in this feud with his brother, but not really feuding.
Yeah, that's odd, huh? I didn't think they were going to pull that on. I didn't think they were going to do that.
Yeah, they've not really been feuding. And then this past week on TV, they fought the Wolves and they had miscommunication. So I'm like, okay, here we go. We're finally going to get something here. We're going to get a little showdown, a little face-to-face. And then they ended the show before they did anything. So it was just weird. It was really weird. So next week we have Road Rage, which is going to show some matches from Richmond, which I believe was... I think that was BJ Whitmer's title shot. I think we're going to see that match next week. You know, the Taven House of Truth thing has been kind of... it's not as entertaining as I thought it was in the beginning when it first started, and now... They had a bunch of title matches set up, like Taven was supposed to fight Lethal, but Carino was pissed because all the Scum guys were left out of the number one contender of triple threats. So now they're working in those guys, I believe, into the pay-per-view. They didn't announce that on TV yet, but I'm pretty sure I saw that online. So someone from Scum is going to be in the TV match, and then I think it's probably, I don't know if it's Jacobs, and then Compton and Titus are going into the tag title match. And so it's a Red Dragon and are going against CNC Wrestle Factory, which is one of my favorite tag team names currently going. Cedric Alexander and Coleman there. So
and Coleman, yeah. How about what's his name? Bennett. Is that his name?
Mike Bennett. Yeah,
Mike Bennett.
Yeah, he's been good too. Him and Maria were really showcased the week before. They're still playing up the fact that he is
getting tryouts.
Yeah, and he's the hottest free agent and everything. So,
right.
I mean, overall, it's still an enjoyable. It's a fast hour. The program is set up to not be boring at all. So it's fine. It's so fast. You know, it's so short. It goes by fast. It just feels like they're a little aimless. I feel like they had a lot of momentum going into SuperCard of Honor. But since then, it seems like they've been just floating around a little bit, trying to find their way. And I really liked the Toronto crowd for the most part. And this last week, they started to taper a little bit. So I'm curious how they're going to keep doing the TV tapings. And it seems like this crowd's getting a little burnt out by the end of it. I mean, the New York ones were rough to watch.
Really?
Yeah, the crowds were just...
The one from the next day?
Yeah, they're just flat by the end. You can just tell they were completely burnt out.
Really? That's interesting. I wouldn't expect that.
If you haven't seen it yet, you need to see the way Paul London got hurt at the Border Wars pay-per-view.
I heard something.
Oh, he was laying on the edge of the ring apron, and Davey tried the double stomp off the top, and he overshot and stepped right on his face.
Ow.
And then he kept fighting. They had like another 3 minutes of the match, which I cannot believe they did not end that match. I just was shocked they did not end it. When I saw that, I'm like, I can't believe that they have the match going on. London, that was brutal. So they did a whole face-to-face thing with him, and they had to postpone his match with Elgin, and then QT Marshall and R.D. Evans came out and got in his face. So London's on the sideline now, but it sounds like he'll be back eventually to have his match with Elgin eventually that they're supposed to have. So, that's pretty much it. That's all I really got to say about Ring of Honor right now. Just kind of finding their way, and I'm hoping at some point, at this point, I kind of hope Hardy wins the title. And then maybe goes into to feud with Steen. I'm hoping that's where they're going. I mean, the Briscoe run has been fine, but it's kind of just treading water at this point. So I think the quicker they get the belt off,
the novelty's worn off.
Yeah. I'm guessing the pay-per-view after this one, they'll probably do it. That would be my guess.
Well, of course, we'll have Kevin on the next few weeks to give us a little background. So see how things are. Quick thing on main event. It's an hour. That's pretty much it. Recaps Raw.
Has it gotten better since the last time we spoke?
Yeah. The matches are a little better. I mean, again, Sheamus, it depends. Depends who the two guys. It depends who the guys are. Have we been on since that awesome Cesaro-Kofi match? We were, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, we were. Since then, it's been nothing crazy. I mean, I'm so done. Again, Sheamus just clogs the show up. Sheamus. They've had good tag matches. You know who's been pumped? You know who's been pushed big time on the main event? The Usos. Big time.
Even on Raw, they picked up a big win. Yeah, so, again, Triple H had said they're going to focus on the tag division, and they really have started to focus on that as well. So
yeah, they've been apparently on the house show circuit. Some teams are starting to be put together. So
I'd like to see the Usos get a pay-per-view title match. I think that'd be interesting.
That'd be awesome. I think they have great chemistry. You know who's been getting a lot of main event plug? Justin Gabriel, too.
Mm.
He's been on a lot. So, but it's fine. It's a serviceable show. I may watch it later. I may wait till tomorrow. We'll see.
All right. Let's do a little payback preview, Scott. I'll run us through the matches.
Okay. Yep.
And we'll give our predictions.
Okay.
Pre-show, your boy Sheamus taking on Damian Sandow. I'm guessing Sheamus goes over here. I don't see why else he'd have the preview show.
Bunch of crap. Sandow's been carrying these skits.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's been
dumbass.
He's been awesome.
He has been awesome. But I just... Wow, you kept your idiot card for another year. It's awesome. Sheamus is just a dick.
So had it with him. Checker's Mind in a Chess World is phenomenal.
Yes, I love that. I like that one too.
All right, Divas Championship on the line. Caitlyn versus AJ. Of course, AJ set Caitlyn up with the Secret Admirer stuff, and her and Big E shit all over her.
That legitimately upset me. I don't know why. I
it was well done. It was
great.
Yeah, AJ, that was her best promo in months.
Yeah.
The women are on a roll. We saw it at the TNA pay-per-view with Taryn and Gail Kim, and now it carries over here with these two. I think this will be a solid match. I think AJ wins the title.
I think AJ wins, too. I think they want to make that little trinity of glory there. I don't think Big E's going to win a belt, but I think AJ's going to win the title. I love Caitlyn. I really have. She's really grown on me since she won the title. So yeah, but I think AJ wins here just to kind of get the kind of like Triple H Stephanie 2000, same thing with AJ and Dolph. So I like AJ to win.
All right, I agree with that. Next up, we have the tag team titles on the line. The Shield battling Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton. What do you think here?
This might be the match where Orton turns full blown heel. I don't think Daniel Bryan is. I think Orton will. I think everybody thinks Daniel Bryan will, but I think Orton will, and the Shield will retain the titles.
I think they have to as well. Do you think now there's a lot of rumors that Daniel Bryan's going to go heel to set up his run with Cena?
No.
I think they should set up the. I think they should have him feud with Cena, but as a face, not as a heel.
I agree. Or just feud with Dolph.
Yeah, I'd rather see Orton turn heel.
I think Orton's the one that turns heel.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Shield wins. Reigns and Rollins have been awesome.
I agree. All right, Chris Jericho versus CM Punk. A, do you think the match actually happens? Do you think Punk's there? Is it a red herring? B, does Jericho turn heel as been rumored? C, does CM Punk turn face? What do you think?
All right, A, the match will happen. You pump this match up because it's to a lot of people, it's the only one anybody's caring about. You don't have it, and I feel bad. Particularly there, you're going to put a red herring there? No, I don't think so. No, bad idea. Punk will be there. There's rumors. I know I mentioned this to you during pre-production. There's rumors he will be debuting a new song that his band, but one of his favorite bands, Rancid, right, is going to be doing. He was at a Rancid concert.
I'm pretty sure that was shut down as a tease, as a joke.
Okay.
Maybe not, though. Maybe it'll happen.
Because I think, because when Heyman did the whole, you know, fake out Friday night and Cult played.
Yeah,
the place went bonkers. I don't know if they quite want that yet. And you know,
yeah,
what
I do.
JR,
I think they want him to go face, though. I do think.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right. Yep.
But as for who wins, well, Punk's gonna win.
You can't have Punk lose his first match.
Yeah, right? Jericho. Punk's paid his dues.
Yeah,
he had to lose twice to Rock, and had to lay down for Taker. He's done. He's paid his dues.
I think Punk wins, and Jericho. I don't know if he goes heel that night, but I think he is going to go heel. I do think so. I think he's kind of tapped.
Is that with Luger and Big Show as the most?
I'm all right with it, though. I'm okay with it. I think he's kind of tapped as a face right now.
Always tapped as a face.
Yeah, I think he can do a little bit more on the heel side right now.
Yeah, but that's fine. But I think Punk wins. I don't think he turns heel that night. Maybe Monday night or Friday night or something. So.
All right, I see title on the line in a three-way here now. Recently added was Curtis Axel into the mix. It gets Wade Barrett and The Miz. What do you like?
When it was Fandango, I thought he was going to win. If it stayed singles, which I thought it was going to be, and I mentioned it in my recap, I thought Barrett would retain because another guy, Miz is just behind Sheamus, as I'm just going to throw up every time I look at him now. I don't know if Curtis Axel's going to win the title.
Oh, yeah, that's a tough one.
I don't think so. I'm going to say, I'm trying to remember when I made my pick today. I know. Okay. I think Barrett's going to retain. I think he'll keep it. I think Curtis Axel's there just to get a pay-per-view buy and to get more people to pay attention to him and put on a good match, but I don't think he's ready for a title win or anything yet.
So I think Barrett
retains.
I think, to me, Barrett's the least likely to win. I could see Miz winning and then using him as a transition. And to me, I don't know why you don't put Axel in. I could see Axel winning in a screwy fashion. Like, he's outside the ring, Miz wipes out Barrett, and then but he's injured or something happens where...
And Axel steals a pin?
Yeah, and Axel steals it or doesn't.
That's possible.
You know, just the way they've been booking him. I think he wins. I don't see why else they put him in this and have him lose. I think he gets the win here. I do.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's kind of their one stab to make it work.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know. I just think Barrett retains. For now, I think Axel's due for. I mean, look, you don't go to Heyman for nothing. I mean, you don't just go there. I think he is due for a title shot at some point. I just don't think it happens here. I think Barrett keeps it.
All right. U.S. title on the line. Dean Ambrose and Kane. I think this will be a good match. Kane works well.
Yeah.
You know, when he has working boots on, I think he'll keep up with Ambrose. I think Ambrose retains here, though. I don't see them putting the U.S.
Oh, I agree too. I think this is just a chance for. I think this is a chance for Ambrose to just really show his stuff against a bigger guy. And I think that's going to be one of his. I was talking with our buddy Johnny Reckless today, and he loves Ambrose. I think Ambrose is going to be one of those guys who's going to be just like Sean, in the sense that he's going to fit with anybody. You're going to see that Sunday. The early makings of a guy who can just fit in any scenario. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be with Ambrose. I think Kane, and I, you know what? I said this to somebody the other day. Did I say it to you? No, I don't think I said it to you. I can't believe I'm about to say this. Whenever he retires, which could be in the next couple years, or maybe even the next year, I'm going to legitimately miss Kane. I really am. I never realized. I mean, not the gimmick. Yeah, the gimmick's, you know, kind of stale. But he's just a good guy to watch. He's a good big worker.
Yeah.
He puts over guys. He gets his shots when he needs them.
Yeah, and also some people are kind of tired of him. Some people have kind of had their fill of Kane. And I think it's one of those things. This is kind of a constant. It's going to be weird when he's gone.
Yes, it is.
It'll definitely be weird when he's not around. But it's I think he's got a little bit longer.
Taker not being around.
Yeah.
Kane is different.
Yeah. No, Kane's been pretty steady. So
yeah.
I think he'll be around for a little while longer unless he decides to definitely pursue the running for office of the Libertarians. So yeah. We'll see. But I like Dean Ambrose here as well. All right, World Heavyweight Title line, Dolph Ziggler back in action after suffering that concussion that kept him out for quite a while. Here against Alberto Del Rio. I think a Ziggler retains. I don't think they'll take the title off him.
No, you don't.
Especially
take the
since he's barely wrestled.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no. It'll be a good match. They have good chemistry. Could be the sleeper match of the night.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ziggler retains. Yeah,
we'll see how how balls to the wall Dolph goes.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if he holds back a little.
Concussions
bit.
Have become a big problem.
Yeah. Well, they've probably been a big problem for years, and they never cared. So.
Well, yeah. Now they're all now everybody's a fucking mess. But now Fandango out for a while. Hopefully, it's not too long.
So we'll see if Dolph takes it easy or if he's right back to bumping around. All right, main event: Three Stages of Hell, Lumberjack Tables and Ambulance. John Cena versus Ryback. For a while, Scott, I really thought Ryback would win the title here. When we go back, looking about a month ago. I didn't see how they could possibly have him lose 2 months in a row, but now with all the rumors of Cena fighting, feuding with Daniel Bryan and a couple other guys, I think Cena retains here. Ryback, I don't know what you do with him. You turn him heel hastily to put him in this feud, and now you're going to job him out 2 months in a row, and then where do you go?
Well, he technically didn't lose at Extreme Rules.
Yeah, but he basically did.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't win. He didn't win. He's quickly become a massive choker. He's Lex Luger. And
yeah,
Scott, just to update you here, the Bruins have just scored. It is now 3-1 with 13:51 left in the third.
Holy shit. Man, I've been trying to be tempered, but I don't know. You might be right. I don't think I've seen them play this good in 20 years.
Yeah, they're on
since
fire.
Since the Cam, Adam Oates, Andy Moog years from 90 through 93. Wow. I'm stunned.
All right, let me just give you a quick idea of what I had for Ryback.
Okay.
I think if you had turned him heel and put him with Paul Heyman, he could have done the talking for him, added some legitimacy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then you have the night after, or whatever, a few weeks after the show. Maybe you have him off TV for a couple weeks after this, and he gets beat up, put to the table. You have Brock Lesnar show up on Raw and just start murdering John Cena. Just attacks him, beats the shit out of him as revenge for Heyman. A couple guys come out to make the save, make Kofi. Well, Kofi has surgery. You know what I'm saying? Guys like that.
Yeah, mid-card guys. Yep.
They come out, try and make the save. CM Punk comes out. Starts making the save. Turns on Paul Heyman, or Heyman maybe it turned on him. He starts, going at Brock. Brock wipes him out, takes him out. Maybe Curtis Axel comes out and whatever, helps him out. So now all's looking down. Punk and Cena down. Ryback comes out, and you assume he's going to join the fray. Looks over, spares Paul Heyman, beats the shit out of Brock, runs him out of the ring. Set up a big SummerSlam match between Ryback and Brock Lesnar. Ryback's back to being a face. You can do the Nikita Koloff thing, or kind of like the Giant when he joined the NWO and then came right back. You kind of do something like that where he apologizes. He's going to prove himself to Cena. Cena doesn't trust him right away. And he keeps proving himself by attacking Heyman's guys, or he attacks a Shield, and he tries to prove that he's back to being on the side of the good. So that's kind of maybe where I would go with it. You can even do it without the Heyman piece. You can still do it. Just have him come out and save Cena. I think you have to turn him face again. After this, I don't see his place as a heel. I think maybe, like we were talking about earlier, maybe ship him to SmackDown and you turn him. But, it's been kind of fucked up the way they did it. I think they should have just done a face-face match for these 2 months, but we'll see where they go from here. So I like Cena to retain.
According to Figure 4 Online, said, as of this week, Ryback is not scheduled to win the title from Cena Sunday. The whole idea behind the Three Stages of Hell match is that it will be used as a vehicle to get Cena over big for the summer.
Yeah.
The fuck does that mean? Because he's not?
Well, I mean, we talked about this going into Mania. He really was on kind of a losing streak, and the Blackhawks have just scored. It is now 3-2 with 12 minutes left.
Okay.
We talked about this heading in and coming out of Mania, that Cena hadn't won a lot of marquee matches. He kind of needed that win over The Rock. And I get what they're saying, that they believe he needs to kind of get over big by finishing off Ryback here. And then maybe you go into the month-long feud with Daniel Bryan, and then you see where they head to SummerSlam. But
yeah, you did you say when you said Booker T's injury, you said biceps. It was actually triceps. Did you say triceps?
I said biceps. I knew it was one.
Yeah.
I knew it was on.
Yeah, it was just triceps. Okay. The surgery went well. It was yesterday.
All right, there is your payback preview. You can have a more extensive payback preview and results both on placetobenation.com. Brad Willing, who's going to be joining us, is doing an extensive three stages of hell preview, looking back at the previous incarnations of the match.
Yes.
So we will we'll have him on to talk about that in a little bit. So, Scott, any news bits you want to get to, or do you just want to keep moving along here?
Let's see. Figure Four Online. This past weekend, WWE officials discussed along doing Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns versus Kane and The Undertaker at SummerSlam.
Hmm.
If Taker doesn't want to do the match, then it'll likely be The Shield versus Orton and Sheamus. Oh, for fuck's sakes. Other matches discussed for SummerSlam, Cena versus Bryan, Big E versus either Big Show or Mark Henry, and Rey versus Dean Ambrose if Rey is back. Oh, kill me.
Wow, so they want to keep Cena Bryan through SummerSlam, huh?
Yeah. Orton versus Ryback and Mysterio versus Swagger have also been discussed for the summer. Yeah, that would make sense, Bryan. Because Monday on Raw, Zeb Coulter was doing commentary during a Cesaro match in Sin Cara, and he was putting Cesaro over as, you know, a guy who came to this country legally and knows English and all that kind of jazz. So maybe...
they got to do something with Cesaro. Even if they can, they bring up fucking Cassius Ohno already and do something with the two of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Enough. All right. Any other news?
Let's see. Just Incredible. Aldo Montoya. Senior advisor to. This was done from the taping. I guess. This is. I don't know if this is kayfabe, but it probably is. Teddy Long fined Caitlyn $10,000 for slapping a ref during the tapings.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, that's kayfabe. Sure, that's kayfabe. I can't believe you have to ask. I don't think Teddy Long has the ability to levy fines.
Is this kayfabe?
All right, Michael Vincent. Let's wrap the news there. Yep, go
ahead. WWE Hall of Famer Dusty Rhodes had to be hospitalized over the weekend due to an infection in his left foot, apparently from a snake bite.
I heard the snake died, though.
Yes.
Couldn't handle
it. Damn it, cobra.
Wow, that's how he got the bump on his stomach, right? The snake bit on the mat.
Yes, I thought it was a coffee pot.
A bump.
That's pretty much it. I don't care about the Bellas. Does anybody care about this show on E? Seriously, what a disaster!
Yeah, we'll see. I'd be curious how the ratings go.
Ugh, I really hate the Bellas so much. Probably because they're going out with Cena. They're going out with the main eventers. Looks like
fun double
dates. No, that's it.
All right, let's quickly talk NBA, Scott. So the Heat are down 2-1 to the Spurs. Spurs won big last night.
Yep.
What are you thinking here? You think the Heat bounce back? Do you think the Spurs take control?
You and I have been watching basketball for a long time.
Well,
and
you longer than me, but yeah.
Well, me longer than exactly. But when you put together a team that great, you don't lose finals games that ugly. I've been watching the NBA since I was 7 years old. Back when, you know, there was a peach basket and you had to poke it. No. Back during my heyday at Showtime, you know, Kareem, Magic, Worthy. Once did I ever see them really get run out of the gym. And that was game one of the 85 finals when they lost 148-114 to the Celtics. Came back and won the series in six. Other than that, legendary teams never lose big. Did you once, JR, during Michael's years, did the Bulls ever get blown out? They lost games. But they never lost games by, 35 points. Never.
No, enough of the comparisons of this team and the Bulls.
Yeah,
enough.
They're not the Bulls.
No, the Bulls did. You're right. They beat teams like that.
This team's
remember, they destroyed the Jazz that one year. It was a 98 in that one game. They won by like 40 or something like that in the finals.
Yep. The Jazz scored like 57 points or some crazy shit. Yeah. This team's in deep trouble. Because let me tell you something. Greg Popovich is probably... next to Phil Jackson, probably the best coach in the last 15 years. The guy knows how to coach. And the Spurs are just one of those teams. What kind of bench? See, the problem with the Heat is you don't go very deep.
Right.
The Spurs have guys that could step up. The kid Green with the hitting threes last night. And the question
Leonard.
Is, what can he? Yeah, and they can he rebound with Parker hurt? He's got it's a slight hammy strain.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's going to be big.
That's going to be very big. Now, LeBron's going to do his thing. Right now, D-Wade.
Maybe. He hasn't yet.
Yeah. And Bosch is a fucking mess. He's a puss boy anyway. Who's going to step up for them? Haslam? When was the last time Udonis Haslam scored more than 10 points in a game? They don't have a bench. Ray Allen, he couldn't cover you and I. They're in deep trouble. A bench is terrible. Guy that could step up.
When's LeBron's out? He's got one more year, right?
One more year, and I think he's gone.
Well, they need to do some serious rebuilding, and the Blackhawks have just tied the game with 7:46 left.
Yeah, I knew it. I know it. It's gonna be a war. It's gonna be a war.
They need to figure shit out this offseason, because if they don't put a team, more of a team, Wade is done. And I think LeBron's, some of the comments he's made in postgame, I think he knows it. But
yeah,
I don't think Wade's got much left in the tank. Bosch is useless. So they need to really figure shit out this offseason, because the next year is a make or break for them. And for a team that proclaimed they were going to win 5 or 6 titles, they may win one, which would be a disaster.
Let me tell you something. Indiana learned a lot this postseason. They're going to be beasts.
Granger
back.
Yep.
They're going to be beasts. The Knicks are going to be better. Your boy Kidd, new coach of the Nets today, by the way.
I like it. I
like it too.
It sounds like Deron Williams really respects and looks up to him, so they're hoping that keeps him on the straight and narrow. And
you know who's
bringing in Lawrence Frank?
And I'm not just saying this as an assistant.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yep.
Oh. That's pretty cool. Yeah, because he got fired by the Pistons. Who just took the Piston job? Mo Cheeks, right?
No.
Yeah, Mo Cheeks got the Piston job. Yeah.
Was it? That was someone.
You know who I think is going to gain a lot? I'm not just saying this because you and I are on, but you know who I think is going to gain a lot from Kidd as a coach? Marshawn. I think he's going to groom him to be a better defensive
Hopefully
player.
Hopefully they keep him.
I think he'll get more chances to with the ball with Kidd on the with Kidd there. You know, Kidd's a guard. And the key thing is, Ball handling, which was a big Nets bugaboo in the playoffs against the Bears over the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
They did not protect the ball, turned the ball over a lot. For a guy who's a good point guard, Deron Williams is a little sloppy with the ball, and he shoots a lot, more than probably a point guard should. So I think Kidd's going to kind of adjust assignments on that team, and I think you're going to see Marshawn step up.
Yep. And other news up here, too, is Doc Rivers waffling about returning. He hasn't given the okay yet. There's rumors that he doesn't want to be part of a rebuild, which to me is kind of bullshit, because he signed a 5-year deal 2 years ago. Did he really think Paul Pierce and KG were going to be around at their peak for 5 more years? I mean,
I know.
What did he expect at the time? So I'll be curious what they do with him if they let
Rondo
him go.
Here.
Well, there's rumors. Remember, Stephen A. Smith had that rumor out there a few weeks ago that there was going to be a mega trade with the Clippers and Celtics with Doc Rivers being part of it.
Really?
It was like Doc, Paul Pierce, and KG for Bledsoe and Blake Griffin.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what Stephen A. Smith said.
I thought I read that somewhere, but wow.
So we'll see. If you want more on that, actually, the Kings of Sport podcast, which you can find on placetobenation.com with our buddy Nate Milton and his boys there, Alfred, and I always fuck up on the last guy's name.
Vandenberg.
Marcus Vandenberg.
Yes.
The three of them
today. Excellent.
Yeah, they did a great job. They interviewed Gary Washburn of The Globe, covers the Celtics as the beat writer. It was a good chat. They talked about Doc and a few other things too, both Celtics and non-Celtics related. So definitely check that out. You can hit it up at placetobenation.com again, Kings of Sport. They had a great interview with Court Bauer too, the episode before. So that was really well done as well. So Scott, let's take a quick break.
Yep.
When we come back, we have half-baked ideas with Jordan Duncan, and then we will have Brad Woodling on to talk PTBNation.com, and then two more trivia matchups. So, take us a break,
first,
my friend.
We have to take a break. Because
he's the Grand Knight. He's the Deputy Grand Knight.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What I'd like to have right now.
Chad, do you ever feel that the world revolves around WWF?
I think you mean WWE there, Barf.
Yeah, whatever, but what about David Crockett?
She likes it!
Well, what about Jimmy Valiant?
I'm gonna get you all until I get you, Paul Jones. Oh.
The Four Horsemen.
We are a family, and we are the best!
The Omni, the Dangerous Alliance.
Please welcome the newest members of the Dangerous Alliance, Arn Anderson and Larry Zbysko.
Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express.
The Fantastics are putting the U.S. Tag Team title on the line against the Midnight Express.
Main events with actual work rate in them.
Woo! 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 All right!
It's just not fair to Flair.
It's not fair for Flair.
If this is what you're looking for, please check out Where the Big Boys Play podcast, the only pure NWA and WCW supercard podcast out there.
While you were in Hollywood making movies, Thunder Lips, I was winning world titles.
So a guy from across the pond and a dude from the south.
where the big boys play. It's a great podcast. Harv and Chad are awesome. Check them out. Also, check out WrestleChat.net, indeed where it's at. Great message board, plenty of topics to browse, the Still Real to Us podcast, and much, much more. Also, our message board, which is awesome, Bigelow34.proboards.com. It's where PTB really began. Written reviews and a boatload of them in PTB Nation. We have you to thank for that. Plus the territory wars, a whole lot more. If you want a one-touch spot for our show, you can head there. Also, head to Stitcher.com and the Stitcher app for all phones and tablets, and more details on that. Also, our good friend Graham Cawthon and the history of WWE.com, the best research site you will ever find. Also, another sponsor to the show, the Wrestling Forum, TWFnews.com, their wrestling forum, a blog site, and much, much more. The guys at TWF creating a wrestling media nation, many blogs, podcasts, and vodcasts. Yours could be included in the official forum of WrestleChat.net and the place to be. We've joined up as well. So check them out, find out what they're about at TWFnews.com. Also, you can check out our show at GetThePointRadio.com. My good friend Mike, it's a great online radio station. You're not in the mood for wrestling, but you want to listen to music, pop it on. He plays music all day long. But you can also check his archive on iTunes, and all of our shows are there as well. Big site.
Hello, everybody. This is Bruno Lauer. I'm on The Place to Be. You're listening to The Place to Be podcast. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you didn't know about our business, this is The Place to Be. The Place to Be podcast. You know why? Because it's like Mama says, it be that way sometimes.
All right, Scott, we are back here on the Place to Be podcast. Hope you enjoyed that sprint through the headlines. And as always, joining us on his monthly visit through the Place to Be Nation is one of PlaceToBeNation.com's staff writers, the one and only Mr. Jordan Duncan, here with his half-baked ideas. Jordan, how you doing?
I'm doing great, broadcasting live from Joe Louis Arena.
Yes, he is, with Andre the Giant battling Ultimate Warrior.
Andre the Giant's is he fighting Punk tonight and Tiger Jeet Singh and...
No, that was last night.
Well, if you record it, Michael Vincent will buy the tape from you. So
yes, for the rest of his life.
That's right.
All right, Jordan, you're on the clock. Bring the heat.
Number one.
Okay. I'm going to leave it up to you guys. Do you want a wrestling one or a non-wrestling one?
Let's go wrestling, and then we'll do the non.
Yes. Okay. All right. This is the one I really liked. Okay. Two things old school wrestling fans love. Tournaments. Everybody loves a tournament, right?
Mm-hmm.
Traditional Survivor Series matches. Mm-hmm. I came up with a cool idea, I think, and actually I stole this idea from my 10-year-old son because he was doing it with his toy wrestlers, so credit to my son Isaac on this one. So I came up with a way to make the Survivor Series pay-per-view interesting again. Here's the idea. A title has to be vacated. Let's say it's the World Heavyweight Championship. A tournament's announced, 16-man tournament like we've seen before. But it's just total chaos. Every match has interference, DQ, stuff like that, and nothing seems to be working. So, whichever figurehead is around at the time, Vicky, Teddy Long, whoever, they come out, they announce a Survivor Series. There's going to be a tournament for the title with a twist. All 16 guys who were in the tournament that failed will be paired up. Show starts with an 8-on-8 Survivor Series elimination match. The winning team of 8... splits into two teams of 4. Another Survivor Series match. Now, you have, of course, have matches in between. So, a 4-on-4 match between the winning original match. Then, the winning team splits into 2. You can do a tag team match or another 2-on-2 elimination. Winning team is now down to 2 guys. They face off for the belt. I think that would be an interesting pay-per-view. What do you think?
I'm going to give you a home run on this one, JD. I like this idea a lot.
Me too.
I think it sounds awesome.
I think it's innovative. I think it's... really, really well thought out. I think anything different that could sell a pay-per-view is something creative like this that we haven't seen before. I think is really good. So I would
as long as you don't make it too confusing.
Right,
right.
You know, you don't want to not too confusing because you don't want to be like WCW with Battle Bowl where everybody's staring at each other and not know what the fuck's going on.
No, I like.
But
it.
Otherwise, yeah, I agree with JR. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Isaac did well.
You could go interesting with it too because you could either have one guy just dominate and be the winner in every match. Or you could have a guy who got eliminated in the first match, but his team won, be the guy who ends up winning at the end of the night.
That's a good one, too. Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
So, pretty cool. So, all right, that was a quick one.
Home run.
All right, there we go. And Survivor Series 1999 was held at Joe Louis Arena.
Yes, it was.
So it was. I didn't go to that show, but I have a chair from like back in the day. I don't know if they still do this. If you got like front row seats, you got to take home your metal folding chair, and it has the Survivor Series logo on it.
Yep.
And my buddy just gave it to me. So very cool. I still have it. So anyways, okay, I got another one here. I'm going to go with my other wrestling one because I kind of like this one too. Do either of you guys do like Amazon Prime or TV shows through iTunes or anything like that?
I have Netflix and I've used Prime in the past.
Yeah, I haven't used Prime. I have Netflix too.
Yeah. The big difference between Prime compared to Netflix is, you know, they have individual episodes, but you got to pay for them. I've done it once in a great while. If I miss an episode, it's not shown on my DVR. I can't find it anywhere else. But you can get like an episode of, CSI or whatever for like $1.99, something like that. I didn't get WrestleMania this year. And the main reason why is they priced me out. $70 was too much for a pay-per-view. Never going to pay that. Never going to do that. Even the Blu-ray is like $25-$30 wherever I find it. So, and I only wanted to see like two matches. So what if WWE started using individual matches from pay-per-views on Amazon Prime and on iTunes? So for example, you can get your pay-per-view for $70, but a week later you can pay $4.99 and just get Rock vs. Cena through Amazon Prime, or $3 for the opening match on the card. Or they could even do it with their TV shows. If you missed Raw this week, everyone's saying you got to see Daniel Bryan versus Seth Rollins, but you missed it. $1 on iTunes. I think people would pay for that. I think wrestling fans would pay for the match they want to see, and I think they'd make some money off of it.
I like this idea as well. I wonder if, you know, we talked about this with Kevin one time when he was on about a system where you could make your own, choose your own DVD compilations. You could pick from the library matches and make your own comp. And he said, well, DVDs are kind of being phased out. So we said, oh, maybe you make your own, whatever, virtual playlist and you can download it to your computer. So maybe you can do something like that too with part of this, where you can pick for, you know, $7 or $10, you can pick three or four matches from the pay-per-view, put them onto a playlist and download it.
I think the only thing that scares me is if WWE did it, they'd overprice that too. So you'd get Rock Cena for $15.99, which nobody's going to pay that much for one match. TNA might be a better choice to do something like that.
Right.
You know, because nobody watches their pay-per-views. So, but if they put an AJ Styles match up for $2.99, I'd give them $3 to watch a four-star match, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm really curious what they're going to do with the network if it ever launches, because if you start getting the pay-per-views on there and you're paying that one premium price, but you're getting all the pay-per-views, that's going to be something that's worth it. You know, if you're paying $12.99 a month, but you're getting a pay-per-view every month, it's already paying for itself. So all right. I'll give you a triple on that one, Jordan.
Oh, all right.
You're doing well.
One of my best outings.
I'll give you a double because the only thing that could hamstring you is YouTube and Daily Motion.
Yep. Yeah.
People could get stuff for free. So you
have
to find a way.
WWE's pretty they sick their dogs out on YouTube, and they squash stuff when they want to.
It depends. It depends if they care. If they got a bug
it
up their
ass. No, it does get ugly. When I'm trying to find stuff for the show or whatnot, we've run into problems. All right, Jordan, let's squeeze in your last non-wrestling one here.
Okay, this one is a basketball one because I used to love the NBA. My interest has waned a lot over the past. Biggest reason is the Pistons are terrible, and so when your favorite team's not competitive, you don't care. The other reason I'm not a big basketball fan like I used to be is the style of play, and I know I'm not the only person who hates flopping. And I came up with an idea for flopping. It's one of those things where, you know, when a guy flops, everyone in the world seems to see it except for the referee. NBA started doing a crackdown on it this year, and I say that with air quotes, cracking down, because now if a player gets fined or caught, they're fined $5,000. LeBron got called on flopping in one of the playoff games against the Pacers. He got a $5,000 fine. That's a big deal to me. It's not to LeBron James. Deadspin put a picture up, I think the next day, of a tab from one of LeBron's nights at the club, and it was like $80,000. Just so $5,000 is nothing. So what do you do? You could raise the fine to like $300,000, but I don't think that's the answer. I think that if they find a play that they consider a flop, you find the player like you did, and you also find the referee who called the flop a foul. Because here's the deal. Flopping doesn't work if a whistle doesn't blow. So find the guy who fell for it, because a $5,000 fine for a referee is going to make a bigger impact on his pocket than the and really, it's up to the referee.
What do you think about putting a suspension in there?
I'd be cool with that. Yeah, I think the other part of it is, you know, for continued, what's the word I'm thinking of? If it's a continued habit, like a Rasheed Wallace who gets a tech every other game, you know, it escalates. Start with your basic, then increase, and then you're out. And if, on the player side and the referee side, you know, a repeat offender should be punished more.
I'm gonna give you a single on this one, JD. I'm not down with, well, anything to screw the refs is fine with me, but I don't know if finding the ref is gonna really deter the player. I know your intent is that maybe the refs will call more of it, but I think you gotta hit the player. I think a suspension with the fine is the way to go.
Okay. Well, main reason I wanted to shoot it with this one is because with the half-baked ideas, I think I've only done wrestling ones so far, so I was trying to think of a non-wrestling one to get us going. So at least it's a single. It's not a strikeout. I'll take it.
No, you're doing well. You had a great night, and you're going to be back with us next week, but we haven't announced why yet, so we'll get to that in a little bit. So we're going to let you go, JD. We got some more business to take care of. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care, guys.
All right.
See you, JD.
Bye.
Always good to hear from Jordan Duncan, Scott.
Yes, I love that tournament survivor idea. That's awesome.
Yes, that's
love that.
One of the best ones he's had.
Again, you got to dummy it down though, because you know some people are may not be able to wrap their head around it. But if done right, that could be awesome.
I agree. And to not speaking of things that are awesome when they're done right, we're going to bring in the managing editor, placetobeination.com. His name is Brad Woodling. He's here with us. You may have heard him in his trivia matchup and in other episodes recently, and. We're going to make this kind of a monthly segment whenever we do headlines. Brad's going to come out with us and kind of give us an update on what's already been posted on PlaySimulation.com and what's to come. So, Brad, we're going to throw it over to you and give us your update.
Hey, guys. Happy to be here. It's been a very busy first 12 days at PlaySimulation. As promised, new material every day, including weekends. We try to take some days off and spend time doing other stuff. But, you know, we came hot out of the gates. I really like that introduction there, Justin, to set up the site. So what we got going on right now, number one, streaming podcasts right off the site. We see people on there all the time during the workday taking advantage of it. We've got, and you guys talked about the Kings of Sport last time. After Survivor Series podcast, and we're really excited to have them on board. Great pod, number 12 with Court Bauer. I finished listening to it today. Really good. Grapple Talk and Grapple Talk Rewind. So Grapple Talk Rewind is they're starting with UFC 1, and they're kind of going through all the history of all the shows. So hopefully we'll have them all there. That's with the very talented Callum Leslie. Off the Top Rope, another podcast we have there. We'll have a new episode up tomorrow for them. Our friend Grant Owens, and We Found New Music, a weekly podcast. And, of course, Where the Big Boys Play, episode 43 is up right now with Chad and Parv taking a look back at the best Jim Crockett promotion television matches from 83 to 87. It's part one of a two-part series, a really good listen. You can also listen to Chad describe time travel in Chikara to Parv. And we're excited because Parv's going to be...
And a sarcophagus match.
And that, too. And we're excited because, you know, Parv's going to be contributing really soon to the Place to Be Nation. He's a multi-talented guy, not just an NWA wrestling guy. He's got some other good passions, too, that we're excited. Anything else you guys want to add around podcasts?
No, I think that's it. I'm excited about the Grapple Talk Rewind that debuted tonight. So that should be an interesting listen, and as well as Kings of Sport, I cannot recommend enough. I thought.
Oh, I listened to the new one.
Yeah, they do a great job.
Yeah, no, they do. I listened to the new one today. They're fantastic. Definitely check them out.
Good guests too. They have a good they have a good pipeline. I mean, Gary Washburn's no joke of a guest to have on to talk NBA during the finals. So nice work by them.
The one guy that didn't vote for LeBron,
and he talks about it on the show. So it's interesting. Yeah. You check out he defends his pick of Carmelo Anthony. So
yep.
And, of course, I would be remiss to not mention the Mothership. The Place to Be podcast, of course, will be posted on the site to stream as soon as it goes live. And so our the fans are real happy with that.
Right here on the Mothership, baby.
That's right. also up today, we have for E3, video in the realm of gaming and video games, a very thorough rundown from Jeremy Nichols on all the news out of E3. PS4 details, Xbox One, what's going on with Nintendo. Real good piece to check out. Return of the Hack, is that a weekly or bi-weekly? I really can't put an exact scope on when
it's whenever. Come out. Yeah, whenever he gets enlightened to do a piece, it will be there. Yeah. Whenever you need him the most, he will arrive.
Exactly.
Superman, yes. Oh my! And definitely check out Jeremy's E3 piece.
Yeah.
If you're an Xbox guy, be very discouraged because the Xbox One is looks like it's going to be a gigantic, expensive doorstop compared to PS4. At least from the early inklings. Although they did have a Halo 5 trailer, so that's kind of cool. So, but definitely, yeah, I agree with you, Brad. Check it out. Great yeah, column.
There's still time for that to change from Microsoft, but it was it definitely, you know, E3 is a couple day event out in Los Angeles, so you know you don't have the capacity to watch all the press conferences. Here is it's in bullet point format for each system, a rundown of all the major conferences. We talk about Electronic Arts and Ubisoft too, so really a good read if you're into gaming. We also have Todd Weber on comics, a weekly series there. He looked at Astro City number one this week. Bob Collins shared his 10 underrated wrestlers. That's up on the site right now. And Michael
Waldrop.
That was
a great column. Yes.
Yep. And Michael Waldrop, who does our Off the Top Rope podcast. And again, that'll be up new tomorrow. He also does the scouting report, a really awesome idea that a lot of members of PTBN are talking about right now. Scouting report number two is up on Bret Hart from 1993 to 94. So it's a pretty cool concept.
Yeah, those are really well done. I like how he took the Hall of Fame / baseball prospectus thing with the old scouting reports and is going back and taking a look at wrestlers in their, you know, prime years. So this is a really unique concept and something unique to Place of Nation. So be sure to check that out.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, all the recent wrestling show reviews are up there. Raw, NXT. Speaking of Michael, really good NXT primer as part of his review for last week. You know, I don't watch that show regularly. I got a lot of value out of understanding who the key players were because now I'm reading the reviews on placetobenation.com. Justin's Ring of Honor report. And Scott, of course, covering Raw, Impact Wrestling, SmackDown, Main Event. Every week, every show, it's covered on there for you guys to keep tabs on everything. And one of the big things I wanted to spotlight is, you know, maybe you're just stumbling on the Place to Be Nation now, is, you know, each week we do a Last Week in Place to Be Nation. We're going to post that on Sunday mornings, which is a recap of what we posted during the week with links and everything like that. So you can catch up if you missed anything from the first week today. It's out on the site. You can search for it. It's actually one of the most popular posts that's linked on the right. So definitely check that out. You can catch up on all the cool stuff we talked about that you guys touched on a little bit with Andrew Reich. There are our office compilation that we did the first week. So it was a busy first week, so that's definitely a great primer.
Speaking of Reich, be sure to check out his pieces. One, the NBA Finals preview, even though it's already undergoing, still worth a read. And, of course, his great Game 7 narrative. It was fantastic as well. Andrew is a very talented writer, so check that out. Brad, what do we have upcoming that will capture the imagination of the fans of Place to Be Nation?
Speaking of Andrew Reich and it comes to upcoming, we are going to have a very comprehensive NBA draft preview. So that's going to be running before the draft. We still have a couple of weeks, but we want to, you know, wet the whistle there. It's going to, and then also we're going to have a piece around NBA coaching openings. But Andrew does not limit himself just to NBA. He also is, of course, into wrestling and also movies too. So we have some other things in the pipe for him. In the immediacy, immediately kind of what we're coming up with tomorrow, a UFC 161 preview. From Callum Leslie of Grapple Talk. That's exclusive to PlaceToBeNation.com. Journey Back Through the Three Stages of Hell. That's going to be a piece by me to set the primer and preview for the pay-per-view this weekend. Josh Richer. Yes, that Josh Richer has put together a novella on the Ready to Rumble movie.
This thing is a mind fuck for anyone who reads it. You think you know Ready to Rumble. Wait till you see it through the eyes of Josh Richer. And
yeah,
you will not look at that movie again the same way afterwards. So definitely don't think it's just like a standard movie review when you see it posted. It is in depth and, yeah, quite the look.
Absolutely. And speaking of Payback, we will have Payback Instant Reaction on Sunday night. And actually, I'll be live blogging the show. And similar to what Chad Campbell did with Jakara, I'll be updating it as the show goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than posting something afterwards. So you can check out the site and refresh, and I promise I will post it faster than PW Torch. And you can find out our thoughts and the nation's thoughts on that pay-per-view on Sunday. We also have Ben Morse, who we're really excited to have on the staff.
Yes.
He put together a big compilation. Ben Morse's five count, the most wasted WWE title reigns. A number of staffers at the Place to Be Nation participated in that, including Justin and myself and Chad also. I love the 90s. You may have caught the AOL piece. If you didn't, it is definitely worth a read. And Justin, you want to talk a little bit about, because I know that's kind of expanding, and then you got another one coming out soon there.
Yeah, that's going to be a regular column. Jen Engel and myself have been friends for a long time, since about 1997. Both been pop culture nerds, pop culture freaks, and obsessed with the 90s. So we've been talking about the 90s for years and years in emails and IMs, and now we're taking it public. So yes, we talked about AOL in the first edition. In edition number two, we've actually been joined by Ben Morse, and we talk about boy bands. And this thing gets intense. A lot of, and I can also promise you, one of the three of us participated in mock-up boy band, and there's a picture as proof that will be included with the article.
That's a great teaser right
you
there.
You like that, right?
That's very
in the good. Article. Exclusive.
In the article.
Picture of one of us participating in a boy band.
And we if you use math, you know it's not Jen. So
you don't know.
You don't know. That's true.
Speaking of Jen, she had a good article up today as well, looking at celebrity meltdowns.
Yes, I read that today. It was excellent. Yes, she picked some good ones too.
Yes, she did. Also, in a couple weeks, in celebration of the War Games DVD and Blu-ray, the PTBN War Games retrospective will be released in two parts. We asked a couple of people to share their memories around specific War Games matches that they're very fond of. So we'll have that out before the DVD comes out. And also in the more distant future, Justin, want to talk a little bit about a teaser for the pop culture desert island voting?
I'm not ready yet. We're not ready yet.
We'll leave it like that.
We're going to tease it. It's a big tournament coming. Chad and I are putting the specifics on it, so look for details on that. It'll be a lot of fun. And then football coming towards the end, but we'll talk about that next time you're on with us, Brad.
Yep, absolutely. August is going to be a big month for that, maybe even a little bit in July. So we'll certainly talk about that later. As always, every day new material. Justin and Scott promised at least one new thing a day, but we've decided to undercommit and overdeliver.
That's right.
And so you're getting three or four spread throughout the day.
Especially with the staff we have is large and dedicated, and they churn out great material. I mean, we've picked up a lot more than we expected early on. And we have two more new writers that should be joining us. We'll wait till they're officially on board before we reveal that. But one is a big get for us, actually a professional journalist. So it's a lot of excitement there. So Brad Woodling, managing editor, placetobenation.com. Of course, you can find us on Facebook, Place to Be Nation. I think it's just facebook.com/placetobenation. Twitter.
That's T-O instead of the number two.
Yes.
But yes, and that's T-O. Where you're going to get all your new alerts for new articles and stuff to check out.
Also on Twitter at Place to Be Nation, T-O there as well. You can email us directly. All of the staff have email addresses you can find on the staff section of the website itself. Also, Scott and I are calling for your mail at mailbag@placetobenation.com. Send us a question on any topic, anything in the world you want us to talk about, and we'll include it in the mailbag and answer for you. So, Brad Woodling, ladies and gentlemen, the great managing editor, that this site would not be alive without him. So, I want to give you a thank you for all your
thank
hard
you.
Work, and hope you, everyone recognizes the effort you put into this. So, Brad, we'll talk to you soon. And if, again, congratulations on your big trivia win.
Thank you. All right, boys.
All right. Take care, Brad. We'll talk to you.
See you, Brad.
All right, Scott. It is now time. Speaking of trivia, we have two more big matchups to wrap this show up.
Yes.
Mr. James Salerno versus Mr. Austin Pfeff.
Mr. Pfeff.
And Mr. Jesse Bai against the one and only, the big underdog in this tournament, Steve Willie.
Yes, Steve Willie. Yep.
So check those out. We'll come back and wrap up after that. All right, PTB Nation, we are back. PTB Trivia Tournament 2013 edition, matchup number three on the night.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We are here with Scott and myself, of course. We'll be enjoying the episode you're listening to. We have one player that was here last week, Last year, rather, and last week, and one player that's new to the tournament this year. And, of course, let's start by bringing them in. The first guy, one of the longtime OGs of the PTB Nation, Mr. Austin Pfaff. Mr. Pfaff, how are you?
Mr. Pfaff.
I'm all right. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Hopefully you're looking for a little better performance than last year.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I count on it.
All right, well, you got a new guy here to the tournament as your opponent tonight, and that is the one and only Mr. James Salerno. James, how are you?
Guys, I'm doing good.
All right. We, of course, went over the rules before we came on, but just to reiterate, first round is easy, easy, medium. Scott's going to give you a number range. You pick the question. We pick the question that corresponds to that number that you chose. First to three wins, and the home team gets to match. So Scott flipped a coin before we started, and when he did that, that determines who will go first. So, Scott?
And it will be Mr. Pfaff.
All right.
Go first, which means that you will go first, and then you, Mr. Salerno, will get back-to-back, and then Austin will get back-to-back, etc. The first one to three wins, which means that if Austin gets to three first, he at least gets to overtime, but if Salerno gets to three first, he wins.
All right.
Mr. Pfaff, pick a number between 1 and 227.
26.
26, okay. Okay. Your first question. What was the trio of Sergeant Slaughter, General Adnan, and Colonel Mustafa known as in 1991 WWF? 10 seconds.
The Triangle of Terror.
Correct.
Good start, Mr. Pfaff.
Thank you.
Okay. He gets one. All right. Mr. Salerno, pick a number.
Yeah, number 7.
Number 7. I like that. Yeah, number 7. Very intimidating. Look at that. Good start. I like that. The attitude. Which wrestler won the Immunity Battle Royal at the 2001 Survivor Series, earning an ironclad one-year contract with the company that won the invasion? 10 seconds.
Pretty good.
These guys are just getting these so fast this year, Scott, that you don't even get to get... I mean, you should just not even say your 10 seconds. Because they're just,
I'm not even going to say it because most of the time...
they're cutting you off.
Yeah, and they're blocking their answer on the air. So I'll definitely not... So everyone knows it's 10 seconds now, so I'm not even going to bother. Okay. 1-1, Mr. Salerno. Good start. Pick another number.
Number 23.
Okay. 23. What championship did Magnum TA win when he defeated Tully Blanchard in the I Quit Cage match at Starrcade 1985?
United States Championship.
All right.
We got a battle on our hands, Scott.
We do. We do. I like this. Mr. Pfaff.
Yes.
Pick a number.
Let's see. 15.
15. Which tag team provided goofy movie reviews on Raw in 2002?
Booker T and Goldust.
Very nice. High five.
All right, we are knotted up at 2 as we head to the medium questions, undefeated. Yes. So now, Austin, you need to get this right, because if you don't, James can put you away with a correct answer here.
All right.
Okay. So, Mr. Pfaff, pick a number between 1 and 223.
1.
Oof. Okay. All the way to the top. Top of the list. Here we go.
Scott, which band? Realized, I don't think I actually put an answer for this one. Do you know which one it is?
Yes.
Okay. Very good.
Which band has not provided an opening song for Raw? We're about to give you 4 bands.
Okay.
Pick it.
All right.
A, Marilyn Manson. B, Creed. C, Nickelback. D, Union Underground.
Creed.
Oh, yeah!
That is correct.
Thank God. Yes, I know. Back sound much better.
All right.
It's our best matchup so far.
Yes. Mr. Salerno, the pressure's on you, sir. You must get this right to force overtime. And gentlemen, when we get to overtime, we go to the hards.
All right, Mr. Salerno, pick your number.
Give me number 80.
Number 80. Okay. All right. If you get this right, we go to overtime. If you get it wrong, Mr. Pfaff moves on. You have 20 seconds. In the mid-90s, prior to the advent of Sunday Night Slam, USA Network would air specials the week before a pay-per-view. There were four unique names. Give me two of them. Again, 20 seconds.
Survivor Series Showdown and Road to WrestleMania, whatever the number was.
It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. You get nothing.
It was actually the March to WrestleMania.
Oh, shoot.
March to WrestleMania. SummerSlam Spectacular, March to WrestleMania, Survivor Series Showdown, and the countdown to the crowning for King of the Ring. And I don't think there ever was one for the Rumble. So so that's it. Mr. Pfaff, congratulations.
Yes.
You move on
Thank
to
you.
Round number two. Mr. Salerno, that was an excellent job by you. A great matchup
great
here. Definitely the best of the first round so far. So Austin will be in touch, and we'll talk to you for round two. James, we'll talk to you next year, hopefully.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, Scott, let's take a break. This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, your pop culture home. All right, Nation, we are back here with another great PTB 2013 Trivia Tournament matchup. Matchup number four now this year. We have two new competitors, Scott. These guys weren't with us last year's tournament, so
yes.
Some fresh meat going to be moving on to round two here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring on, first of all, the man who's been another PTB OG, been with us pretty much since the beginning. First time on the show, though. Long time first time. Mr. Steve Willie.
How's it going, gentlemen?
Going well.
Steve.
We're very excited to have you on here finally, Steve.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Welcome to the party.
All right, and you have some stiff competition here tonight in the form of Mr. Jesse Pye. Jesse, welcome.
Hey, guys.
Ironically, he did not receive a bye.
Yeah. Well, Jesse, no bye.
Yes, Jesse, no bye. Okay, so you guys know the rules. You pick a number. We'll give you the question corresponding to that number. The rounds go easy, easy, medium this time around. You get 10 seconds for easy, 20 for medium. Scott will read you the question, and then we'll go from there. First one to three wins. And Scott has determined a home team via random draw, and that home team will always get to get last go as every other round. So, of course, you do a snake fashion.
Yep. And the flip was made. Mr. Willie, you will go first, which means Mr. Bai will be the home player, which means
nice. He
gets three, he wins.
Okay.
Whatever the scenario is. Okay. Mr. Willie, pick a number between 1 and 227.
All right. Well, I've been studying all week watching the $25,000 pyramid, Nipsey Russell, so let's go with 25.
Old school. It's Nipsey.
And Webster's cousin.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Okay. All right. You have 10 seconds. This world-class megastar won the Intercontinental title in his pay-per-view debut at SummerSlam 1990. Who was it?
Well, thanks to J.O., I can gladly tell you that this is Kerry Von Erich, the Texas Tornado.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
All right, look at you.
Big That's my Willie wheelhouse style. Right there, Scott and I. We're the near 40s and the now 40s.
Yes.
Running into 40.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Into
All right, 40s. Steve Willie, point one. Mr. Bai, you get two in a row. Your first one, sir.
67.
Okay. All right. 10 seconds. Name all three members of the Mean Street Posse.
Joey Ebbs, Pete Gass, and Rodney.
You have to also include what supermarket Rodney works at currently. So.
I don't remember.
All right, 1-1 here as we head to round. I guess round number two. Still
yes.
Easy.
Yep, Mr. Bai, another number.
89.
Okay. Once again, 10 seconds. Who was the runner-up of the final edition of the Old School Tough Enough airing on SmackDown in 2004?
John Hennigan?
It was actually The Miz. Of course, that was how he was introduced to television, and then he stuck around as a stupid announcer, and then he became a wrestler.
Yeah.
Remember, he lost to Mr. Daniel Pewter.
Okay. Yeah.
Steve Willie, my friend.
All right.
Pick a number.
For my son's birthday, let's go 126. That way I can blame him if I miss it.
Very nice.
Okay.
Classy guy.
All right. 10 seconds. Who has won more Pro Wrestling Illustrated Match of the Year awards? Shawn Michaels or Ric Flair?
Who? I'm going to have to go with Flair just because of the longevity.
Shawn Michaels almost doubles him up 11-5.
Wow. Yep.
And of course, they each get one because their match at WrestleMania 24 was one of them. So if you take that one away, Shawn wins 10-4.
Yep. So, all right. And wow. Speaking of scores, we are at 1-1, so we're still in the easies.
We're still in the easies. Still 10 seconds. Mr. Willie, pick one.
Let's see. Let's go 58 for my other son.
Okay. Well,
hopefully he does better than the first one.
Yeah, someone's not getting dessert tomorrow.
No pudding for you. Okay.
The hell he's 10
seconds
for dessert.
10 seconds. In the fall of 1993, which team defeated the Steiners for the World Wrestling Federation Tag Team Championships using special provincial rules that allowed the straps to change hands by disqualification?
Justin Rosero favorite, right? The Quebecers.
You got that one wrong, Willie. I was gonna be very upset with you.
Okay, it is 2-1 in favor of Mr. Willie. It is time now for Mr. Bai. You get two in a row. Pick your first.
Not the Mounties.
Okay. If you sing the whole song, you win the whole tournament.
There's your question. There's your question, Jesse. Finish the song. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Pick a number.
I am from Canada, so I should know it. So.
Yes.
Yes.
So we'll go with 167.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
It's a good one.
All right. 10 seconds. Which Sylvia Plath line does Jake Roberts' daughter quote while showing off her scrapbook in Beyond the Mat?
Oh. Oh, I'm drawing a blank.
Need an answer.
I got nothing. Sorry.
It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. You get nothing.
Fuck you, Daddy. All right, so 2-1 Willie here.
Yes.
So, Jesse, you need to get this one right. Yep.
Yep. Another number.
Right. 100.
Okay. What was the main event of the first NWA Clash of the Champions event that went head-to-head with WrestleMania 4?
I don't know much NWA. Flair? And Morton?
No, God!
Yeah.
No, God, please, no!
You had half correct. It was Ric Flair versus Sting in the first clash.
Yep, a 45-minute draw.
All right, so 2-1 here. Willie, you're going to medium, and you could put it away with a correct answer.
All right.
Unlikely hero here.
Powers versus Roma, 19.
Okay. Screen froze for a minute. Stand by. Okay, here we go. Okay. To prepare you for victory, you have 20 seconds. Which former TNA champion attacked Hulk Hogan during a press conference in Japan in 2003?
Jeff Jarrett.
Mr. Willie with the first upset of the first round. Congratulations, my friend. You move on. Jesse Bai, good showing. It was a good matchup.
Thank you.
A lot
Thank
of luck
you.
In not getting that 2003 to 2011 dark spot.
Yes, you dodged a bullet this time, my friend.
Yes.
We'll see how you progress. All right, Jesse, thank you for playing. Hopefully you'll be back next year, and thanks for listening as well.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
And Mr. Willie, congratulations. We will be in touch for you move on to your second round matchup.
All right. Thank you very much, guys.
All right. Good luck with your Blackhawks.
All right, guys.
Four zip. All right. Bye, guys.
Trivia, sir.
Oof. Yes. And two more have moved on.
Mr. Pfaff.
And how about the underdog, huh? Steve Willie.
Big upset. The Willie Meister. We're moving on to round two.
So they will join Mr. Woodling. And of course.
And Chad. Oh, no, wait. No.
Sentimental favorite.
Yes.
Yes, not Chad. Chad's never sentimental. Of course, the great Jay Wimette. So they move on. Four down.
A lot more to go.
A lot more to go. A myriad to go.
Yeah, so those will continue to air. So, Scott, we'll be back Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
With what do we got? Armageddon? Is that Monday night?
Yes, Armageddon 99. Final pay-per-view of this crazy year, 1999.
And then Wednesday night, the poll has been locked. Michael Vincent, put your razor blade away, please. We don't want any blading.
Yep.
But we will be reviewing Heroes of Wrestling from 1999. It won with 23 votes. 18 votes for Barely Legal 97. I think 15 of them were Michael Vincent pseudonyms.
Yes.
Raw's War 131 2000 with 7 votes. Super Brawl with 1 vote, and the Slammies of 1996 with 3. So, we're going to live review Heroes of Wrestling. We think this needs a Mystery Science Theater style review. It's too good to just watch and give notes.
Exactly.
We're going to watch this sucker live, and we're going to have special guests with us. Jordan Duncan will be joining us to review this. He, of course, he joined us for Beyond the Mat.
I think he said Andre was the third color guy.
Yes. So he will be back next Wednesday night with us. We'll have two more big trivia matchups. And the week after, a little bit of a shifty schedule. Sunday night, we finally interview Diamond Dallas Page.
Mm-hmm.
Talk some yoga, talk some wrestling. Yep. And then that Monday, we will be doing... is that Rumble? No, what are we doing on Monday night?
I think it's
Rumble.
Yes,
Rumble 2.
All right, we enter the new millennium.
Yes, and then don't worry, fans. Kevin Kelly will join us the week after. They'll discuss 99 second half. He just had his travel schedule for the pay-per-view. We had to push him back. And then we'll be doing a mid-year report with Graham Cawthon and Chad Campbell. Kind of wrap up the half year. I know, right?
The
when
Graham Cawthon.
The Graham Cawthon makes his return.
Was he last on episode, 12?
No, he was with us with Scott Hudson. That wasn't that long ago.
Yes,
all right, so there's your next few weeks here on Place to Be Nation. And speaking of the nation, check us out, please, at our website, placetobenation.com. Mm-hmm. You've helped make this podcast successful. Now we're relying on you to go onto that site, get us some clicks, click around, read all the articles, and just help us out to help launch that. Spread the word, pimp it out, and be as good to us there as you have been with the podcast. Again, we wouldn't be doing any of this without the nation. So thank you all. All right, Scott, go celebrate your big win tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully the Bruins will help pile on the goodness. I am going to go to bed. This show will be posted soon, and we'll talk to you next week, Monday night, for the Armageddon. Ben Affleck, put it in the VCR.
I'll leave it.
Gonna leave it at that. Good night.
It's not enough for you. I paid the cost and gave you my all, but you still want more. I'm still standing right here, but it's
but you still want more.
Listen to this, just listen to this.
Right now, we getting it right now. And now, we gonna give you what you want. Come on.
Just listen to this, just listen to this.
I'm talking you, 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 and all of you in the back and in the middle and the front. Come on. Homie, this here is pain. I'm speaking on this pitiful thing that's now forever stained in the banks of my memory. You probably like they running this beat, but nah, I doubt we'll ever be. It's funny, cats don't remember me and don't think, cause we all here, that it's gonna be all we or all love. It's all above, trying to mask them emotions with pounds and hugs. No more, I say, gotta make them pay, cause I'm tired of getting stepped, son, in the worst way. Just wait, these chips on my shoulder getting stacked. When my pockets catch up, who's never turning back?
Yo, I ain't never heard an actor blow and go global, then come back home and still be called local. And when we on stage, the people they all front. Don't beats, don't rhymes, what more do y'all want? Shout it out.
Seems like whatever I do, it's not enough for you. I paid the cost and gave you my all,
right,
but
here
you still want more. I'm still standing right here.
Shout it out.
But it seems so unfair,
without a doubt,
that I sacrifice and give you my life, but you still want more.
Fonte, Big Cool, Nice One, Little Brother. Back again. Darren, talk to him, man. Talk to him, man. That was for y'all, ho.
Ladies and gentlemen, our next performer needs absolutely no introduction. He's given the world such classic hits as Roll Over Love and Big Girl Lovin'. Please welcome one of soul music's pioneers, Mr. Percy Miracles.